Focus on India.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. World leaders are gathering this weekend in New Delhi for the World Economic Forum's annual India Economic Summit. From New Delhi, Miranda Kennedy has details.
The next 3 days will be an extended brainstorming session about how to shape India into a major economic power. Most economists are optimistic about the India story, but there are major stumbling blocks. The biggest is India's outdated infrastructure, says Nanda Nilekani, CEO of one of India's top IT companies.
And as more and more multinationals start operations here, they also want a much better environment to conduct business. So you're seeing both Indian domestic businessmen as well as global businessmen expecting better infrastructure. And a lot of that has to do with the comparison that happens inevitably with China.
India still attracts only a fraction of the foreign investment that China does. Nilekani and others say the government must improve its roads, airports, and electricity supply to attract more foreign investors. If that happens, he believes India has the potential to become one of the world's leading players. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy from Marketplace.
A gift from Elliot Spitzer. Hank Greenberg's off the hook a bit, at least with New York's attorney general. The Wall Street Journal's reporting this morning that Spitzer's not going to pursue criminal charges against the former AIG chief executive. Word is he'll focus on civil fraud allegations instead. You probably know federal prosecutors are probing Mr. Greenberg for a massive accounting fraud at the insurance giant. Here's an example of the power of the press. A New York man has been accused of using pre-publication copies of Business Week in insider trading deals. The magazine's online edition updates on Thursday evenings. Positive news about a company often pushes stock prices higher on Friday. The man arranged to have an insider smuggle him a copy before its public release. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan has charged the man with 10 counts of securities fraud. The Olympic flame gets a light this weekend in Greece as the world prepares for the 2006 Winter Olympics in Turin this February. Marketplace's Ethan Lindsay reports the Winter Games typically don't cost as much as their summer counterpart and can give a long-term boost to their host cities.
One quarter as many athletes require far less money for new stadiums and facilities. More importantly, after the flame is extinguished, tourists will pay big money to hit Olympic slopes and halfpipes. Historian David Walachinsky says the same can't be said for the Summer Games.
Once you build a velodrome, or perhaps something for whitewater slalom canoeing, there's just not going to be a lot of use for that after the Olympics are over.
Another summer-specific cost? Security. In the first Games post-9/11, Salt Lake spent $300 million to keep everyone safe. 2 years later, Athens spent $1 billion plus. Despite the good economics, Turin's Winter Games are unlikely to see the success of Salt Lake's $100 million take. Even with a good amount of government support, the city just hopes to break even. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
Of course, markets were closed Thursday because of the holiday. There'll only be a half day of trading today. You're listening to Marketplace. All I want for Christmas is to be able to write music like this week's subject of the job files.
3, 4. My name is John Stone. I'm a songwriter in Nashville, Tennessee. I started writing songs when I was 12 years old, wrote for 10 years, and a publisher decided to have me become a staff writer and write songs for them. What do you want to write about? I don't know. What do you want to write about? I don't know. I like this chord. Somebody will say, I like a train leaving. So we'll write a song called Leaving on a Train. If you have a top 5 song, depends on what genre, you make $500,000 to $10 million. A couple guys, it happens to all the time. A couple guys, it happens to once. It's bound to happen to everybody if they keep trying.
Andrew Blackwell produced this edition of The Job Files. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, fanniemae.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patients associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a financial services organization, providing nearly 3 million members with financial products and services. Thrivent.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. Today's the day you'll hear lots of talk about toys and the hottest sellers for this Christmas season. One toy doesn't need a debut. It celebrated its 60th anniversary this week. I talked to Slinky's chief, Ray Dallavecchia, about its staying power.
It's probably one of the very few products where you can discuss on the radio and the visual image immediately comes to the listener's mind.
It must be fun to have a brand, especially as you enter each holiday season, watching everybody struggle to get attention, to know that everybody knows what you've got to sell.
It is absolutely amazing to me personally that 60 years later, we're selling as many or more Slinkies than were sold in the first 10 years. The generations have taught the next generation about the product. The product itself has become more of an adult product. It's a stress reliever. People play with it in their office in front of their computer screens. Teachers from around the country who teach learning-challenged children, they want Slinkies in their classroom because it focuses the child when the child's hands are playing with the Slinky.
I've got a gold-plated Slinky in a very beautiful box with my initials on it. It was a very nice present a few years ago. What is it that makes a toy, any toy, not just Slinky, so timeless? What do you think the ingredients are?
I think the simplicity of the product and the cost and the fact that this product has transcended significant leaps in technology over the last 60 years.
What are the economics of the Slinky, too? I'd imagine it's been obviously a moneymaker for you all these years.
It's an interesting product. In 1945, it sold for a dollar, and today the most prevalent retail is probably $2.99. If you think about it, the product has only increased in at retail three times. Now, I defy you to find a home or an automobile or a gallon of gas that has only increased in price three times.
You think that's got something to do with it, too?
I think so. We also enjoy a relatively recession-proof product. Slinkies sell no matter what the economic conditions are. Clearly, when things are we're in a recession, the traffic in the stores impact how many Slinkies are sold. But the reality of it is that if enough people pass in front of a Slinky, someone buys it.
What do you do for an encore after something like Slinky?
We've been looking for that.
Ray Dallavecchia is president of the company that makes the Slinky. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your weekend. American Public Media. When Billy. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.